Cut the Fat Podcast is brought to you by Dr. Ray Heinisch, Blythe Allberg, and cutthefatpodcast.com.
Welcome, welcome, guys. You have landed on another episode of Cut the Fat Podcast. I am Blythe Allberg, and in the virtual studio here with me is Dr. Ray Heinisch.
Hello, everybody. What an awesome day it is here in beautiful Maryland. I'm sure it's awesome in Panama City, Florida over there, right, Blythe?
We've had a little bit of a cool spell, and by cool, I mean it's not in the 80s yet. It is absolutely perfect outside right now. Yes, nice. Spring is upon us.
Awesome. All right, well, in today's episode, you know, that kind of sets the stage for what today's episode is all about. You know, oftentimes we talk a lot about kind of the science, kind of the hardcore things that we need to do to burn fat and achieve our weight loss goals. Today, we're going to soften it up a bit. We're going to do a little bit of the motivational stuff, right?
Okay, so positive thinking and kind of taking actions that will point you in the right direction rather than always trying to be so scientific about it and making the right movements. It's kind of the action that pushes you toward the movement.
Right.
Yes?
And I'm not a huge fan of social media, as you know, but at least I don't like to do a lot of social media myself. But with Twitter, what I like to do is whenever I come across a sentence of wisdom, you know, like a motivational quote, some might say, but for me, I don't think it's so much about motivation as it is about understanding, placing complex processes or complex thought processes into a single sentence. And being able to grasp that in just one single moment, I think, is just so empowering. And so on Twitter, when I come across one of these sentences that kind of blows my mind, I like to just post it on our Twitter account, which is CTF Podcast. So if you want to hunt us down, just type in CTF Podcast and go ahead and sign up for our Twitter so that when these thoughts kind of come to me or I read about one of them, I'll post them on there for you to be able to blow your own mind, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, some of those will just, like, resonate with you. Some of those you see and it hits you at the right time, at the right moment. So
Right. Posting
them on social media, you can either go back and look at them or you might just get somebody at the right moment and the right time. And that's why I enjoy social media, because I receive that from social media. So I like to share that with other people. There are things, I'm just like you, totally blow my mind. It's like one sentence and it just fits in my life that day at that very moment. I love that stuff.
Exactly. Now, one kind of thought about motivation is that if you're always in need of motivation to take action, that's not a good place to be, because motivation is waxing and waning. Like if you're listening to this podcast and we kind of throw out one of those sentences of wisdom that we're about to go through, and you think, wow, that's awesome. You have this jolt of motivation within you. That may only last but 10, 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden you're back to kind of your normal state of melancholy, you know?
So it's kind of like the initial state, and then you've got to be able to back that up.
Right. So these are all great, and I love having those moments of motivation, but you can't rely on them for your results.
Right.
Because it's so waxing and waning.
Yeah. And I think that's something people often come across. They're like, I need motivation. I need more motivation. I need to be like you. And it's not actually that we have more motivation. It's that we've got what goes behind it to back it up.
But we have a big why.
Yes. And the initial little spark of that motivation puts us in motion for that.
Exactly. And what I'd recommend you do, we're going to go through a lot of these little sayings that are very powerful, but don't try to get them all. They're all on our Twitter account. If you want to go through, you can find them on there. Just kind of latch on to the one or the two thoughts that really resonate with you and just recall them whenever you need a little jolt of motivation. The whole purpose of motivation is only to get you off the launch pad. It's not designed to carry you through the entire journey. So when you think about it, most of us are kind of in a state of inertia where we're at rest, right? Like perhaps we just can't get ourselves going. Mm-hmm. Well, the purpose of motivation isn't to carry us through the entire journey. It's just to get us up off the couch, if you will.
It's that little jetpack you strap on that shoots you up off the couch and out the door, and then you take it from there.
It's the booster rockets, right? The booster yeah. rockets on the space shuttle aren't designed. They don't stay with the shuttle the entire trip. They're just there for like the first 30 seconds, and then they jettison off, right? And they disappear into the sunset. So that's how you use motivation, right? Right. Okay, cool. So let's go ahead and jump into some of these kind of sentences of wisdom, if you will. I wish I had a better way of describing them, but that's what they are. They're just single thoughts of wisdom. Let's start with the first one. Here it is. The more confident you are in your ability to do a task, the easier it is to do the task. And you kind of gave me a perfect example of this thought process, right? When we started, before we started the podcast, you were rushing home to, because we basically just decided to do this podcast on a whim. You were rushing home from where?
From the gym. I was telling you that you said, well, how was your workout? And I said, oh, it was great. I try to kill myself in 45 minutes or less. I mean,
every
obviously
day,
I know I'm
said,
not going to die
every day.
At the gym, but I do it every day. And I get something from that. It makes me feel good. It energizes me for the day. It sets my day off on the right foot, and I end up making better choices for everything. And even though it's a Friday and the gym was pretty empty, I still tried to do that. So yes.
And you know, the reason this brought me to this thought was the fact that how confident and competent you feel doing a task will determine how easy or hard it is. You know, we think it's the steps that make it hard or difficult. Like it's how hard the workout is that makes it difficult, but it's not.
No,
it's how
not at
competent
all.
And confident you feel when you walk in the gym. It's easy for you to go to the gym only because, or it's easier for you to go to the gym than it is for the average bear, because when you walk in the gym, you know exactly what you're going to do. You know how to exercise. You know how to build an exercise plan for that day. Mm-hmm. You know how to use every piece of equipment within there. So you walk in and you see just an endless supply of tools that you know how to use. So
yes.
For you, it's easier for you to do those workouts.
Yes.
I don't want to say it's easy because you know it's hard, but it's easier for you to go to the gym. It's easier for you to go and do a workout and to leave feeling like you got something really significant done for the day, because you feel very competent when you walk in the gym.
Yes.
And so, you know, this the more confident you are in your ability to insert task here, it could be exercise, cook food.
Mm-hmm.
Choose healthy foods, you choose healthy activities, do a sport, then the easier it is for you to do that task. So maybe for some of us, what we need is not to learn a bunch of new stuff, but to become more competent with the stuff that we already know,
right.
The stuff that we already have somewhat of a grasp on.
Yes, that's a great piece of advice right there.
So what, you know, when you're working with clients, Blythe, mm-hmm. where do you see the need to develop more competence?
Well, competence and confidence kind of go hand in hand. Let me just talk about really quick. When I walk into the gym, there are days where I'm like, oh, I really don't want to be here. It's supposed to be leg day. Every other part of my body is sore. I'm tired. You know, there are days that I drag too, but because it's a routine and that's just what I do, I make myself go through it because I know I'm going to feel better at the end of the workout. Now, the competence part of that sort of carries me through the workout. So if you can become comfortable with, say, maybe 5 or 6 different machines, say you get a free personal training session at your gym and you really work on those certain exercises and become an expert on those 5 or 6 or 8 exercises that you learn, you construct your own plan, and then you can add a couple of things and mix it up. So I think the confidence of being able to go in there and kind of pretend like you know what you're doing at the beginning and then learning as you go is really a big golden nugget for some.
Right. Imagine walking into a gym and feeling that same way, feeling like you're dragging for the day, feeling like your muscles are sore from the previous workout, and then looking out on a sea of equipment and feeling a lack of competence there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the feather on the camel's back that breaks it, right? It's the
yeah.
So you got to systematically remove the obstacles in order to achieve at least to make the process of achieving those goals much easier.
Right. And when the process becomes easier, which it will, then everything else becomes a little easier. It's one of my favorite sayings is, and I'm not going to throw another, this isn't really a word of wisdom, but it's one of my favorite sayings is, it's very simple, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that's very simple to do. You walk yourself through the motions, but it's not an easy thing to tackle.
Right. And it kind of goes hand in hand with this, because what we're talking about is making it more simple so that when it's not easy, you're more likely to do it.
Yes, exactly.
So let me throw this out to you. This is from Kelly, one of our clients from one of our premium groups, premium programs, right?
Okay.
And she wrote actually today this question. She said, a smaller local gym has a pretty good membership deal right now, $89 for the first month and $10 after that. No contract, or if I want to go to the classes like Turbo Kick and Plyo, you know, in quotes, not sure how often I'll actually go because of the class times, even though I love them, and bring a friend, it's $99 for the first month and $20 after that. But it's a 2-year contract. The classes are $10 to just drop in otherwise. I think if the gym were closer to home, the contract wouldn't bother me. As it's local to work, though, and 45 minutes from home, the 2-year contract is a big turnoff. Who knows what might happen in 2 years? It's like a 4-minute drive from my work. So I'm thinking it would be great for quick lunchtime workouts or a quick after-work session before the commute home. I'm just on a tight budget, and I very rarely use the last gym membership I had, although the location sucked. But I don't work out much at all now. I plan to work out at home, but there are too many distractions, mm-hmm. and I'm away from home 55-hour work weeks already. So okay. I just want my family time at home. I've been walking during my lunch break, but there are two vicious dogs in the neighborhood that have put a stop to that. Okay. I stopped and checked the gym out yesterday, and it seems great. The owner seems great, and they know their members. I miss having a gym available when I want to go, but I have a hard time signing a contract thinking all the other things I should probably be spending that money on, especially if I end up never going like last time. Ugh. Okay. Any input?
Okay.
What is your advice here? And this is not uncommon. A lot of us go through that kind of mental process of pluses and minuses whenever we come across the option of doing something good for ourselves.
Right. Okay. Well, you know I'm a little on the hardcore side.
So you are that.
This is going to be a little bit of tough love. If you know that you're not going to or nor do you want to exercise at home, Kelly, I would suggest that you do join the gym. Classes are great, but if the time schedule isn't going to work for you, be real. Don't pay for it. Don't sign the 2-year contract. Sign up for the gym. Pay the $89 for the first month and the $10 a month. You won't be too out of pocket. If you're on a tight budget, that's probably the wisest way to go. But you are going to have to make a commitment to yourself that instead of going on your dangerous dog walk on your lunch breaks, you're probably going to have to schedule that time to go to the gym. Now, you're going to have to fit that into your schedule. So just saying that you're maybe going to go before you commute home because you're looking forward to your home time, you're going to have to change your schedule a little bit. So if lunch works for you, make it a rule that you go then. If evening time works better for you and, you know, maybe you can do a drop-in class every once in a while, you're going to be paying the extra $10 anyway if you get to do one class a month. And if you don't, well, then you might pay a little more, but it will fit your schedule. You know, it sounds to me like she's a lunchtime type person and that actually works for her and she has already committed herself to doing that, although it's no longer happening.
Right.
But, you know, that's what it sounds like to me. So that would be my suggestion.
So
I'd say join the gym, commit yourself. You're committed because you're paying the money and now you have got to fit that into your schedule. What about you?
So I agree with you. I think she should sign up for a gym. I don't know if this is the right gym. It's
okay.
Possible, you know, based on what she said. You know, there were a lot of things in here in this message that made me feel like she wasn't very confident in her decision to do this gym based on a lot of different factors. So I agree with you. If you don't feel like the classes are going to fit easily into your schedule, then don't pay for them. Don't pay extra for them.
Excellent.
Number two, if the 2-year contract is what's keeping you from signing up, what I'd recommend you do, this is a small gym. You go in, you sit down with them, you explain your situation, you say, hey, I want to do this. I can't sign up for 2 years. I live 45 miles away. I'm not sure if it's going to work out, but I still want to sign up for this package. Will you please allow me to do so without signing the 2-year contract? What gym owner wouldn't accept that?
Most of them would.
Most of them would.
You know, that actually reminds me of something that I want to talk about, and I'm going to just kind of ride your coattail for just a quick second on this. Asking for what you want to order, okay? And right now she's ordering a gym membership. Sometimes it's a meal at a restaurant. There is no harm in asking somebody to accommodate you. It's a customer service business. That's what they do. So just like you shouldn't ever be afraid to ask for something steamed or grilled or cooked without oils or butters at a restaurant, exactly the same thing. You can ask them to tailor a gym membership that will fit you. And they want members.
They want members. I mean, who in their right mind would say no to that? Especially because it's a reasonable request.
Absolutely.
And so I like what you just said, because I think a lot of the people that I work with, they don't stand up for themselves and their own desires and needs. And that is part of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
The confidence component of it. Mm-hmm. Be confident with yourself. Be confident to demand what is right for you and your family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That doesn't mean you need to be nasty about it. But
no.
There is no problem with saying out loud what you want. You know, I've worked with a lot of people who travel a lot and eat out a lot, and there is a way to lose weight and eat out, but you have got to have that level of competence and confidence to be able to tell them what you want, what your needs are. You know, they would cater to somebody who is diabetic or somebody who has heart problems. If you're somebody who doesn't want to be diabetic and doesn't want to have heart problems and you're on the preventative side of that, there's no harm in asking.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the next step, Kelly, and what I'd like you to do is after you know, if you do decide to sign up for the gym membership, the next thing I want you to do is go back and read the post that you made in that Facebook group. I want you to read it, and I want you to systematically pull out every single obstacle within that post that you put there.
Okay.
And I want you to devise a plan around those obstacles. I want you to systematically disassemble the things that are likely to trip you up. And do your best to, you know, to just build it into a routine, like Bly said earlier, okay?
Yeah.
All right, on to the next one. Here it is. Now we're going to go faster through some of these other ones because that was just the one to get us off the launch pad,
yes.
Right? Okay, so the next one is, it's easier to make decisions right than to make the right decisions.
Yes, I agree with that. It's much easier to kind of backpedal and make everything more simple than it is to just go in with a plan and do it the right way the first time. Actually, I think this is how people's lives get sort of jumbled up and you kind of fall behind and create a domino effect. So by not making the right decision in the first place, let's just say you decided not to pack your lunch for the day. You thought, you know what, I'm just going to wing it today. I'm going to find something to eat. And then you get caught up at work. You've now got 12 minutes for lunch and you've got no food. You've placed yourself in that pinch. So by making the right decision in the first place, which probably would have taken less than 12 minutes to pack your food at home, you know, I've got some recipes out there. You can throw a can of tuna in your lunchbox. You can throw an entire avocado in your lunchbox and a pack of rice cakes. There you go. You've got a great healthy lunch, rich in protein. You've got some healthy fats in there, super easy on the go. And that would take you less than 12 minutes to put together in the lunchroom at work.
Is it perfect? Probably not, but that's kind of the point of this one saying is it's easier to make your decisions right than to make the right decisions, meaning that if you're striving for perfect in the beginning, it never works that way, especially when we're talking about weight loss programs. So if you're trying to build the perfect program for you on day one, trust me when I tell you that will never happen.
Right.
I've never met somebody who discovered the perfect weight loss program on the first day. You have to kind of do something first, build a plan first, knowing that it is imperfect, and then one by one you kind of chip off the things that aren't correct, that aren't proper for your own culture and lifestyle. So when you use that example of you're in a rush in the morning and you're putting together a lunch and you figure, screw it, I'll just go and find something. It would have been better for you to go in the pantry, just like Bly said, throw in a can of tuna, throw in an avocado, throw in some rice cakes, and go out the door knowing that that's not the perfect lunch,
right? But
it's good enough. So that you have something handy.
Absolutely. I do like to throw a big fat slice of tomato on top of that too.
But what if you don't have the tomato?
Oh, well. Grab whatever I can. It's
right.
Fine.
So you make your decisions right later. But you have to make a decision in the moment and
yes.
then be okay with the imperfection of that decision and then work later down the line to make that decision proper. And that goes with your lifestyle. It goes with your immediate action. It's better for you to do a 7-minute workout
yes.
than to do no workout at all, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? That works both ways as well. If you decide to eat a piece of cake because it was somebody's birthday at the office, you need to be okay with that decision. Okay. And maybe if you didn't like how you felt after that and that's not what you wanted to do, be prepared for the next time that you have to make that decision and make it right in the beginning.
There you go. Don't beat yourself up. Don't sit there
that's
beating
right.
yourself up about that one decision. It's gone. It's done. It's in the past. Just say, you know what? I'm going to make my decisions right in the future. There'll be other cakes to push away,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can make that decision to do that next time. All right. On to the next.
Okay.
When it's obvious that the goals cannot be reached, don't adjust the goals, adjust the action steps.
Mm, okay. So this is kind of like getting up off the couch and now what do I do?
Right. So let's say you're on a program, you're on a weight loss program. It kind of goes back to the previous lesson. You're on a program, you're not losing weight. You don't say, okay, well, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to, you know, this is just my body. This is just how I'm going to have to live. You adjust the action steps. You say, okay, well, my program's not perfect. Let me try tweaking it, right? This goes back to the CATA, the commit
yes.
to a program, assess your results, tweak the program, and then assess again.
Mm-hmm.
When it's obvious that the goals cannot be reached based on the program that you're following right now, you don't adjust the goal. You don't give up on the goal. You adjust the action steps. You change them one by one, right?
That's right. And a little saying that I have that I tell people related to exercise, weight loss, lifestyle anyway, if what you're doing isn't working, it's time to change it.
Absolutely. And, this isn't religion. It's science. You know, you don't have to keep doing something even if it's not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to shift things. You have to change things. It's not right. It's not right. You have to change it. All right, on to the next.
Okay.
Start small, stay consistent. That's the formula.
Yes.
Start
consistency
small,
is
stay
key.
Consistent. That's
yes.
the formula.
Yes. Without consistency, you don't ever have anything to measure from.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you do something for a certain amount of time, you're not going to see your changes. And usually that leads to like a domino effect again, you know, where when you don't see changes, then you feel like what you were doing wasn't working when in fact, maybe it was working. It just wasn't consistent enough.
Right. You remember way back when one of the very early podcasts, we said, you know, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is change happens slowly. The bad news is change happens slowly. So, you know, the reason it's good news is because if we make a bad decision today, it doesn't mean we're going to put on 20 pounds tomorrow. That's
right.
good news. But same thing is when we make a change today, it doesn't mean we're going to lose 20 pounds tomorrow. So that's the bad news.
Right.
And that's just the nature of the beast. You have to stay consistent for long enough for your body to believe that you're serious about the change, that your environment isn't fleeting. You know, when you think about it, the body doesn't want to, you know, for example, let's use developing or growing muscle mass,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The body doesn't want to build muscle because the body is designed to be efficient, right? If we have
yes.
a lot of muscle mass, that burns calories. And if the body perceives that there is a famine going on,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't want to build that muscle. It certainly doesn't want to hold on to that muscle. It's one of the reasons why we lose muscle so quickly when we go on long-term diets.
Right.
Because the body senses that there's no food in the environment. So
right. We're built to be functional.
Right, right, right. And so it's saying, let's get rid of this muscle because it's burning calories that we don't have to burn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we're talking about building muscle, if you go to the gym and you do one workout, are you going to put on 5 pounds of muscles tomorrow?
Absolutely not.
How about a week?
Absolutely not.
How about a month?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. So you've got to stay consistent with it long enough that the body knows, okay, number one, that for example, in this example, food is not scarce.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, that you need more muscle mass in order to go out and catch that food and find that food and gather that food.
Right,
and
so be active.
It could be 2 months down the line. It could be 3 months down the line where you put on that quote-unquote 5 pounds of muscles that you're trying to achieve.
Right, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's not like you wake up in 3 months and you're like, oh, geez, that exercise I did last night made my biceps huge. Like, it's not going to happen that way either.
Right. On another front, the calorie mongers, the people that say it's all about calories, right? Mm-hmm. Those folks will look at some of the research. There's been some research that took various diets, like the Atkins diet. There was one fairly famous study that you hear a lot of the calorie mongers kind of talk about, and that is that when they put people on a low calorie diet versus a low carb diet, and they both lost basically the same amount of weight during the course of the study.
Okay.
And so they'll say, well, you see, it's not about the carbs, it's not about the hormones, it's about the calories. And in fitness and in the lifestyle sciences, you hear people, there's like one person on one side of the fence and another on the other. One saying it's all about hormones, the other saying it's all about calories. Mm-hmm. And they almost always, each one will typically, quote their own research to prove their point. Mm-hmm. But the reality is this: it's about calories and it's about hormones. When we look at it, what we say is you can't artificially control your calories no more than you can, artificially control your, how much heat your body produces.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You
right.
can't think yourself to burn more calories, right?
Right.
And it's a process that happens beneath the surface. Well, how many calories we consume almost always is also regulated by those same subconscious processes. So our goal is to regulate our hormones in such a way that the body then manages the calories for us. Mm. And and that's where consistency comes in.
Right.
Does it matter if we eat a low calorie or a low carb diet? The reality is, if you're consistent, it probably doesn't, right? The reason we're more about the hormones, or we talk more about the hormones, is because it's almost impossible to consistently, consciously regulate calorie intake. It's very difficult to get people to make a lifetime process of counting calories.
They almost
always give up on it eventually, right?
Right. It's something that's not necessarily sustainable for life.
Right. So what we try to do is regulate the hormones so that the hunger is down, the cravings are down, so that we naturally eat less calories.
And natural would be the best way to go. I mean, if you can trust the feelings of being satiated, if you can trust the feelings of being hungry, if you can trust all those signals, which means you have a hormonal balance going on,
right?
Then life becomes much easier to live. And
right.
you can only cut so many calories. That's another thing I have with watching your caloric intake, is people get so obsessed with cutting the amount of calories down. The objective, or at least my objective, and my objective for my clients would always be to get in as many calories as possible without gaining, or maybe if your goal is just maintaining. So eating mm-hmm. as many calories as possible so you can maintain. Or eating as many calories as possible and still lose,
right.
if that is your goal right now. So
right.
it's not cutting back calories so you're always starving and you're uncomfortable. That leads to binges and all sorts of other problems. I think that's why we talk about hormones so much.
Exactly. And, our friend Jade Tita just put out his brand new book, which is it's called Lose Weight Here. And he has a process that he goes through with people. He says, look, it's not all about calories. And he says that we basically want to change our calorie intake basically in the way that you just described. He says he has programs where it's eat less, exercise less, or eat more, exercise more.
Yes.
Meaning that when you exercise more, you want to eat more calories. When you when you exercise less or you move less throughout the day, then you'll want to eat less calories. But you want to do it in such a way where the hormonal balance takes care of that. Like when you're more active, you have a tendency to be more hungry. And when you can trust those signals, and most of us in the beginning, we can't trust those signals, which is why calorie counting can be a useful tool in the beginning.
Right.
But once we get our body back into balance metabolically and hormonally, then we can start to trust those hunger signals again.
Yes.
And when we can trust those signals, it's a great thing, because then it's not about us having to count every single morsel of food that enters our mouth, because our body takes care of the counting for us.
Right.
Awesome. Okay. So, but in the end, that's why I say start small, stay consistent. That's the formula, because just like in that research, it's the consistency of it. If you can be consistent with calorie counting, and it comes so easy for you. From time to time, I run into people who are like that. They're like, I love counting calories because I love numbers, and it's not a hassle for them to do it. And guess what? They do very well with calorie counting.
If that's you, stick with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If it's working for you, run with it.
Right. But it's the consistency that is important. All right. Let's go on to the next. In an effort to not miss anything, we unwittingly miss everything. There's a little imperfection in a perfect life. And that just goes back to don't shoot for perfect. There is a little imperfection in the perfect life. If your goal is perfection, then guess what? You're never going to achieve your weight loss goals, are you, Blythe?
No, absolutely not. Perfection doesn't happen. You can ask any bodybuilder that is standing on stage, and they will point out the several imperfections that they see in themselves, and that's physical. Now, we're not just talking about physical, but you know, somebody that actually looks very perfect on the outside doesn't see that. So the bottom line is, we never reach a finish line. We're never 100% pleased with our results. However, if you set a goal to be a certain weight at a certain time, and you achieve that goal, well, then you have met the finish line, and maybe it's just time to start another, you know, set a new goal so you have a new finish line to work towards.
Right, and when you mess up, when we call it messing up, a lot of us refer to it as messing up, but when you mess up, guess what? It's not that big a deal, as long as it's not a consistent thing.
That's right. Right.
So allow that little imperfection. And you know,
right. Yes. Thank you. I love that you said that, because I think scheduling in, even if you're, I'm just going to go back to the bodybuilder thing, you know, they schedule in cheat meals on purpose to defeat the want or the need to binge on something that they've been depriving themselves from.
That's a great example to illustrate that point. All right. So great. Let's go on to the next one. The next one is, an ounce of action is worth a ton of theory. And I like to say that it's easier to learn something new than it is to do something old. And unfortunately, that's the reality. And that's what I think a lot of people fall into, is they end up just wanting to read diet books, because learning something new makes you feel great. Doing something old, you're doing something
it's
that
doing
you
something
already
old.
Know. Right. And nobody wants to do that, especially when it means effort, right? Like, it's easier to read a diet book than it is to go to the gym and actually work out.
Absolutely. And, you know, you kind of summed up that little sentence by saying your own sentence that was like, doing something old is boring. I mean, a light went off in my head, and I was like, you know what? That will resonate with everybody.
Yes.
So that was a good little rephrasing that you did. I like that.
It's easier to learn something new than to do something old. And that is such an important thing to think about when you're, you know, sitting down for an hour to read a diet book, when you know you could be making some good food, or going out to the gym and working out, or just going outside for a walk or something. And right. So just think about that.
So instead of exercising your brain, use your body and go do something.
That's right.
Okay.
And let's just do one more. And this is one that I think a lot of people need to hear. And, you know, I know that you see it in people that you work with. I know I've seen it in people that I work with. And that is that there is nobody like you. And once you realize that, your entire future changes. There's nobody like you. And once you realize that, your entire future changes. And what I mean by that is, you are that damn special. You are worth living a healthy life and doing the things that you want to do for yourself, having the energy and the health to be able to climb a mountain if you want to climb a mountain. You know?
Right. And allowing yourself to feel that way is okay, because I think that there are a lot of moms and dads out there who will listen to what you're saying. It might give them a little bit of a change of perspective. You know, without you, the rest of your life as it is could not exist the way it is. So you've got to put yourself as a priority, and you do have to take care of yourself, and nobody can tell you what you enjoy. So it's a personal journey that intertwines with everybody else, but you really, really have to understand how individual and special, like you said, you are, so you can take advantage of that.
There's nobody on this earth, nobody. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I don't care if you're the Pope. There is nobody like you, and you know, you're worthy of living a long, healthy, energetic, successful life. And when you realize that, and self-worth is a rare thing in today's day and age, mm-hmm. knowing how important you are to this world is a rare thing to see. And even if you haven't achieved, you know, tomorrow I'm turning 40, and you know, you start to think about these, you start to think about your life at that kind of 40 mark. You haven't reached the 40 mark, right, Blythe?
Ray, I'm 40. Are you trying to rub it in?
No, I'm turning 40 tomorrow. I'm not trying to rub it in at all.
No, I'm already 40.
Are you already 40? Okay, cool. So
it's okay.
You kind of think back and you think, well, have I achieved everything? Of course I haven't achieved everything that I want. And some people may feel like they haven't achieved anything. But guess what? If you were to accept this reality that, you know, you're worth as much to this world as Bill Gates and the Pope and the President of the United States.
Absolutely.
Then all of a sudden you have the ability to go and make changes that you need in order to satisfy your meaning in life.
And that's what it's all about.
It is. And what we do here is a small piece of that. You know, when we're talking about health, when we're talking about lifestyle, when we're talking about weight and trying to get, you know, a lot of people who, you know, let's say you're 80 pounds overweight. Well, there is a consequence to self-worth when you're 80 pounds overweight. And you know what? I'd love to be able to say that there isn't, but that's how people feel. The reality is that your weight has really no meaning to your worth. But
absolutely correct.
People but, yes. feel that it does.
Right.
People feel that it does. And I've learned that there is absolutely nothing I can say to them that will make that change.
They have to decide it for themselves.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. And what I'm trying to say in this single statement is there's nobody like you. And once you realize that, your entire future changes. Is if you were to just accept this one little piece, all of a sudden, a lot of stuff shifts. And guess what? This whole journey becomes a lot easier for you.
Yes.
Because you're fighting for something, for someone who means something.
Ah, love it. I think that's a great note to leave our listeners on. You guys think about that. And if nothing else in this entire podcast stays in your ears and just continues ringing for a few minutes after this podcast is done, let that be the one.
Absolutely. And with that, I'm going to go and get old and...
Hey, now.
Okay.
Watch it.
Well, you know, if you want to learn more about us or if you already know about us, well, stop by cutthefatpodcast.com and sign up for our newsletter. Search around there, read some of the articles. Be sure to visit us on Facebook and be sure to subscribe on iTunes.
Twitter, CTF Podcast is one word. You guys can find us there too for some fun motivational stuff. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Safe world about